Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On this episode of the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino, OU's 2023 schedule is here. So we give you some of our initial thoughts. Then we catch up on some things we've missed with OU basketball and in the NFL. And we give you our winners and losers of the week. Please download and subscribe to the podcast. Rate it 5 stars and write us a good review. Follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search Oklahoma Breakdown on any of those and you'll find us. All right. Our man, Michael Hostie, will kick this thing off. It's time for the Oklahoma Breakdown. It's a beautiful Wednesday, February 1st, and you're listening to the Oklahoma Breakdown with Iker and Lehman, presented by Riverwind Casino. Riverwind is Oklahoma City's premier casino experience, and there are so many reasons why Riverwind is consistently voted OKC's number one casino, but it all starts with their amazing variety of gaming thrills and excitement. Riverwind's beautiful award-winning environment plays host to more than 2,800 of the latest electronic games, with a huge selection of table games, including blackjack, blackjack match, roulette, and Teddy's favorite, craps. No matter what your game, Riverwind has it in spades and hearts. And to learn more about their gaming promotions and entertainment options in the month of February, all you got to do is visit riverwind.com. Riverwind Casino, simply the best. Now, recording this Wednesday morning, please leave us a 5-star review and a nice comment. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring the podcast, we're trying to finalize all that stuff for the entire year. If you're interested, you can email theoklahomabreakdown@gmail.com. Ted, how we doing, man?
Fantastic. Cannot complain. We got a lot to get into today.
Yeah, we've got some catching up to do. So we'll do the OU stuff, and then we're going to do what I'm just going to call catching up, right? Because yes. We had a massive OU basketball win, and then the AFC and NFC championship games that we need to hit. So let's just get right to it. OU stuff. The schedule, it's finally here, man. We finally have OU's 2023 schedule. Okay, let's run through it really quick. September 2nd, Arkansas State and Norman. September 9th, SMU in Norman. September 16th at Tulsa, which, let's be real, people, that's going to be an OU home game. September 23rd at Cincinnati. September 30th, Iowa State comes to Norman. First Saturday in October. October 7th, Texas in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. You've got an October 14th bye. Then October 21st, UCF comes to Norman. October 28th, the Sooners go to Kansas. November 4th, that will be Bedlam in Stillwater. November 11th, the West Virginia Mountaineers come to Norman. November 18th, we'll talk more about this one. The Sooners will travel to Provo to play BYU on November 18th. And then you finish up the regular season with a Black Friday November 24th matchup with the TCU Horned Frogs in Norman. So to recap, home, Arkansas State, SMU, Iowa State, UCF, West Virginia, and TCU. On the road, Tulsa, kind of. Cincinnati, you've got Texas in the Cotton Bowl, Kansas, Oklahoma State in Bedlam, and Provo for BYU. What's your initial reaction when it came out? What'd you think?
Well, it took me a minute to gather my thoughts and look at it. And it's a weird schedule. It's the perfect schedule for coming off of a 6-7 season. It looks like a who's who of non-Power 5 football, right? It looks like an old WAC conference schedule or something like that. But all in all, I can't complain. I think that if you are an Oklahoma fan, we haven't had a home game to – like a home conference game to get thrilled about in a long time as far as like traditional big-time matchup. Right. There's always ends up being a good football game in conference, whether it's a Kansas State or Baylor coming to town, who's had a good year. Like you never know preseason who the big game is going to be. And I think that's still probably going to be the case. But as far as like on paper, it sucks. If you want great games, like big buildup and like traditional powers going at it, but if you want to stack some W's and have a chance of having a really good season, then it's perfect. So how do you weigh that? Like, do you want to see like the best of the best go at it, or do you want to stack wins? If you want to stack wins, this schedule, at least right now, at least the way we look at it right now, I don't think you could have asked for anything better.
I think after what the fan base went through in 2022, a stacking win season, it's not the worst thing in the world. You know,
I agree.
The worst thing in the world. And kind of what you were saying about the home games, Arkansas State, SMU, Iowa State, UCF, West Virginia, and TCU. Yeah, I guess that, you know, some people are going to enjoy the SMU game, right? With them being in Dallas, like there's going to be some crossover there. That's going to be fun for some families that are OU fans, I'm sure. But UCF, you've got the Dylan Gabriel angle to it, but that's about it. And then I think the one, and we'll see how the season plays out, but with it being the last game of the season, TCU is, that's got to be the marquee game, right? Now, TCU has to have a good season. OU has to have a good season. And that's how that one will play out. That's how that one will be the big game. But there's a lot of football to be played between that. We don't know how those seasons are going to play out for each team.
Yeah. Long time between now and that football game. And There's some questions whether or not TCU can back up the year that they just had with another one. They've got some big shoes to fill. Perhaps they could do it. They're a well-coached team, got a new offensive coordinator coming in, going to have a new quarterback, you know, and you just look back from a year ago, like that season was close to not being anywhere near what it was, but credit them for winning a lot of those tight games, you know, if a couple of those go differently, you know. But yeah, as you look at it right now, I mean, Black Friday game, that has a chance to be the headliner. You never know how it unfolds, though. It feels like every single year in the Big 12, there's a team, like maybe it's going to be UCF, turns out to be like the biggest home game. Maybe they're undefeated coming to town. It's hard to know, but like whenever you just first glance at the home schedule, Arkansas State, SMU, Iowa State, UCF, West Virginia, TCU. It looks like a bunch of teams that the casual fan would say, are any of those teams Power 5 football teams? You know, you just don't have anyone that really jumps out at you. Now, we know SMU has done some good things with that program. We know Iowa State is an incredibly tough football team. UCF is coming off of a really solid year. We know what TCU is. So it's way more difficult than it looks, is what I'm you know, basically trying to say. But it's hard to look at the schedule as a whole. And I know we just went 6-7. So you don't really want to jump at any predictions, but can you remember a schedule that OU's had that is like more winnable than this one?
No, not really. And it scares me a little bit. Now, we said something. I thought the 2022 schedule was pretty favorable in year one for Venables. But when you look at this, I think this is fair to say. Like, you always look at the Texas game as a toss-up, right?
Yep.
But if you just remove that game, if OU was coming off a, you know, 9-4 season or a 10-3 season, something like that, we'd be looking at this schedule going, I got a good chance of going undefeated.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to say anything like that after what we just saw from Oklahoma in 2022, but when you just look at it on paper, maybe the best way to put it is very, very manageable.
Yeah. The teams that you avoided, Kansas State, Tech, and Baylor, I mean, you avoided three teams that you lost to a year ago and three teams that I think are probably going to be pretty salty right there at the top of the conference that have a really, really legit chance to compete. Now, Baylor's, they're going to be working through some stuff, replacing some big-time players on that defense, but that's college football. Everyone's replacing stuff every year. Kansas State, if they get the Will Howard that we saw the second half of the season there, look out for Kansas State, but they're replacing some guys too. But like if the danger game on the road to K-State, avoiding that, I mean, it looks to me like the Big 12 is trying to set up a like maybe a Kansas State OU Big 12 championship, perhaps.
And this is something that I talked quite a bit about over on my serious show. Brett Yormark, right? I think when you're putting together this schedule, because it's likely this is the only year we get the 14-team Big 12, right? You wanna try to take care of the teams you think may have a legitimate chance of playing for a Big 12 championship and therefore making a college football playoff while it's still the 14 format, right? That is what's best for the conference. So when I looked at the schedule, let's think about what the preseason poll could look like. The top six, in my opinion, when the preseason poll comes out before the season, it's likely to be in some order, Texas, TCU, K-State, OU, Baylor, and Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech is going to kind of be this year's K-State where everyone's like, hey, watch out for Tech, right, with what Joey McGuire's kind of building there in Lubbock. So when you look at OU's schedule with that in mind, with that being the likely top six in the preseason poll, you don't play three of them, right? Because you don't have Kansas State, Texas Tech, or Baylor. You're one of them, right? If you're looking at the top six and you're OU, you've got a neutral site game against Texas, who is likely to be the conference preseason favorite, and you get TCU at home. It cannot be more manageable than that.
Nope.
If you're Oklahoma, and it's funny because I think the conference, and I'm not sure if they just put it into a computer and it spits out the schedule or like how all that works, but I got to imagine that Kansas State, your defending champ, you're like, you know what? Oklahoma is typically more talented than them. I know that Kansas State's given OU a lot of trouble here recently, but you know, let's not make K-State have to play the Sooners, right? Who could really improve in year two under Venables? Let's not have Baylor play him. Let's not have Tech play him, who could be kind of the dark horse. You know, let's try to keep a loss off those teams' schedules, basically. And in doing that, and maybe this is a little too conspiracy theory, in doing that, you actually hand Oklahoma a pretty easy schedule. So, yeah, I hate to say it, but like, there's no excuses for this team not to win like 9 games, right?
I mean, you're saying 9.
I was about to say, like, 9 is when you just look at it on paper.
Find me a game that you can point to and say that, other than OU Texas, that you could foresee. Well, I mean, obviously coming off of the year last year, but like what we know of our program and how our program has operated, not on a 1 year timeline.
Let's talk the last 20. Yeah, yes. The last 20 years.
This is an undefeated season. Like that's just what it looks like. Now,
you're right.
We've got a ton of work to do before anyone even begins to consider an undefeated season, which is good. It's a good thing that people aren't walking around saying we're going undefeated next year. I mean, that's great, but
I'll say this. I think a lot of the fan base is thinking it, but no one wants to really say it.
Yeah.
But here we are going, you know what? On paper, with what OU has been over the last 20 years, there should be a chance that they win every single football game. But
there's not a 10-win team from last year on the schedule. A lot of the teams on the schedule from last year had losing seasons. you know, it's just it is what it is. Now, like I said, I totally expect someone on this schedule, maybe more than one team on this schedule, to turn out to be way better than they look right now. Like I think BYU has a chance of that, right? They got a quarterback coming back. He's going to be a senior, believe.
BYU's quarterback left. Yeah, he's in the Senior Bowl right now. Jaren Hall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that helps. Which is another thing. Like it's something that I'm going to have to get used to and dig in. Like I don't know a lot about it. It's like a 6-game non-conference season is what it's like, you know, and UCF, BYU, Cincinnati. I don't know a whole lot of about those teams. The other rosters for the most part, other than transfer guys, you've seen them like come in as freshmen and work up to seniors, so you've got a lot of built-in knowledge there. Going to have to dig in a little bit on some of these teams to see what we're working with.
Let me blow your mind real quick. Keaton Slovis is going to be BYU's quarterback.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like that game even more.
So one of our things before the schedule was released was like, hey, we want the trip to Provo. Like you and I, we figured, hey, if you're going to go on the road and play a couple of these new members, give us the beautiful views in Utah. We got it just a little later than we wanted. November 18th. Not going to be as warm as I was hoping it would be. I was hoping for a mid to late September showdown between the Sooners and the Cougars. Instead, we're getting November 18th, which I don't know. Can we ski like the Friday before the game? Is there going to be enough powder on the mountains? Like, is that a possibility? I'm trying to look at the bright side of that, but yeah, November in Provo, that's not what I was looking for, man. It's not, but I am very, very excited for that trip.
Yeah, they said, you want a game in the mountains? We're going to give you a game in the mountains, all right? You're going to get some elevation. You're going to get some snow-capped mountains in the distance. So, no, I think that's going to be great. And hopefully BYU's had a good season up to that point. It's going to be senior night for them, and I imagine it's going to be a great atmosphere no matter what. But if they've got a good thing rolling, that could be a crazy atmosphere.
Yeah, some other things that just kind of stand out. The Black Friday game against TCU is that's clearly interesting. And I think a lot of people point to that 2-week stretch for Oklahoma and they're like, what a nice parting gift from the Big 12. Dude, it's so easy to travel now in college football. I think, and I know TCU, I believe TCU's got a home game before the week before while OU's going on the road to Provo. But, like, it's so easy to travel in college football now. You get on the plane. You get off the plane. You go to the hotel. You sleep. You play the game. You get on the plane. You come home. It's not like some – traveling is not just – it's not rigorous. People, it was funny. I saw a lot of strong reaction to that. Like, oh, we got to play TCU at home on short rest after going to Provo. It's like, that's football, man. That happens all the time. The guys in the NFL do it all the time. They fly across the country, come back, they play again. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I do not want to hear that excuse leading up to that TCU game. Like, oh, they had to go all the way to Utah to play a football game. You get on a charter plane, you have more food, more. It's like, it's one of the best things. It is the easiest travel experience ever for these guys. I don't want to hear it, man. I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree. I saw a bunch of people saying that, and I'm like, TCU is the one that's not happy about that. It's not Oklahoma. TCU is the team that's upset. Like, if they're even upset, I don't think anyone's upset about it. But, like, TCU's going on a short week to play on the road.
And they play Baylor the week before. Now, they play them in Fort Worth. But TCU's lead up to that game is Texas Tech on the road on a Thursday night. Then they host Texas and Baylor. And then they have the Black Friday game in Norman.
Yeah, it's not even close. TCU's going to Oklahoma. They don't want to go to Oklahoma to play that football game. So, I mean, they'll say they're excited about the opportunity and all of that. But, I mean, we got the good end of that deal. So, it's total non-factor. Could not have asked for a better schedule. 8 games in the state of Oklahoma. Only 1 game in the state of Texas, neutral site game. Like that, we've got 2 road games that are like air quote road games, Tulsa and Stillwater. Now, Tulsa will have a bunch of OU fans there. Stillwater.
That will be a home game. Like, let's just be the crimson in the stands is going to vastly outweigh the blue and gold. Like, it's just, Tulsa is an OU town. Come on.
And Stillwater, it won't be like that in the stands, but it's the easiest travel game you could possibly have. You know, it's easy up there. I mean, it's not much different than playing a home game as far as the travel's concerned. So schedule is fantastic. And I got to tell you, I think that I always talk about Joe C doesn't, like, make his presence felt all the time, but when he does. And this schedule, Oklahoma and Texas were actually the teams that had all the leverage, and I feel like there was some tough negotiating going on, and we got a schedule that is big time in our favor.
I will say this: if you look at OU's schedule and you look at Texas's, I don't know if Brett Yormark just likes Joe Castiglione more than Chris Del Conte or what, but remember, OU's avoiding defending champ K-State, Texas Tech, Houston, and Baylor. So that's the last two Big 12 champs, right? A team that's, I think, it's going to be kind of a buzzy pick before the season, then Houston. Texas isn't playing UCF, Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and Cincinnati. It seems like OU got the better end of that deal if you're just talking about stacking wins, because Oklahoma State, that roster is in flux. Maybe that's the best way to put it. West Virginia has, I mean, that whole situation with Neil Brown is just strange. And then you got to expect UCF and Cincinnati, like, it's going to take some time for them to build the depth that they need on their roster to be really, really competitive. Now, could be wrong. Maybe one of these new teams comes in right away and competes, but It seems like Joe C got the better end of the deal, right? If you're just talking about winning football games.
Yeah. I'm looking at Texas's schedule. They play two games outside of the state of Texas, at Alabama and at Iowa State. Everything else is in this. They have 10 games in the state of Texas. So that's one thing in their favor. Like, they're hardly leaving the state, which is, that's something to look at on theirs and say it's a nice bonus for them. And the Alabama deal, that's a non-conference. You can't do much about that. So, I mean, there's, we got the benefit as far as level of competition, but like, 8 games in the state of Oklahoma for us, 10 games in the state of Texas for Texas.
Yeah. I did see some stuff about the game at Cincinnati. Now, I played Cincinnati, what was that, 2010? It was my first year starting, and we played them in the Bengals stadium. I think that would be a travesty. That game's going to be at Nippert Stadium, right? I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything official on that, but I want the University of Cincinnati experience.
Yeah.
When we go to that game, I want it to be in Nippert Stadium, and I know it doesn't hold a ton. That's fine. Like, I want to feel that. I don't want to experience it in an NFL stadium. I have no interest in that.
No, it totally robs the authenticity of the matchup whenever you go play it in a corporate setting, which, you know, I think is, it's weird whenever you have these big time non-conference games between, like, who is it playing? Is it like Florida State, I think, is hosting LSU, and they're playing it in Orlando. And then I think they went and played LSU last year and played in New Orleans, right?
Yeah. I am not a neutral site fan. Now, I get it, right? I get it, and I get the build up.
Is it so they can, like, slap a name on it and sponsor it and make some money?
You have to assume, like, it. Alabama plays a lot of those, right? You have to assume it's making financial sense for Alabama to do that, mm-hmm. as opposed to hosting.
It's also like they're for a long time. They did not. I think the Texas matchup is like the first true road game, non-conference, like, big matchup that they'd had in a while that wasn't air quotes neutral site.
Yeah. So the only other thought I have on that schedule is, what time's that Black Friday game going to be at against TCU?
It's a big factor.
Because Texas and Texas Tech are also playing that day. There's traditionally, right, who's it? There's usually a couple games on Black Friday. And I wonder what the kickoff time is going to be for that game. But if OU and TCU are both having really good seasons, you would assume that thing's going to be prime time on Friday night, right? But who knows? I don't even know. I was thinking, what would be the ideal kickoff time for me and you?
Not,
sign me up for, like, what, 2:30?
Well, yeah, now that you mention it, 2:30 is perfect. You know, because I think the short week, if it ever was a factor, an 11 a.m. kick on a short week, you know, that makes it a little bit more difficult. But maybe that's what you want on TCU on a short week, too, with travel and all of that stuff. But personally, yeah, 2:30s, that's always the best.
Yeah.
At home.
I wonder what people would prefer. Like, a night game would be really fun, but I just, 2:30, I feel like, lets you recover from Thanksgiving, you know, you get up, get moving, mimosa or six in your system, and then let's roll.
Right. That's perfect. I agree.
You got anything else on the schedule?
I think that's it.
Okay, now there's a couple more OU things I want to hit, but let's work Call Your Shot in here really quickly, because we asked you guys what your initial thoughts on OU's schedule were. This first one comes from Blake Dafford, and he said, I find it funny that both Oklahoma's and Texas's reaction to the schedule release is just retweets of the Big 12's announcement. No graphics released from either school. That was interesting. Now, and put the tinfoil hat on, Layman. Why was there no creative, whether it's funny or cool, why was there no excitement from the social media stuff for OU and Texas? I was a little confused that there was nothing.
I don't have much of a, I don't have anything really. Now, all along as a bargaining chip, apparently, like in the grant of rights, Oklahoma and Texas, technically, I don't think they have to play anyone that they didn't vote in. So the tinfoil hat thing on the far outside is like that OU and Texas were never really going to, for lack of a better term, ratify the schedule, and they're going to the SEC. But that's not happening, right? I don't know what that was. There's something to it. I mean, we put a graphic out about everything. There's something to it, but I don't know what it might be.
Yeah, I want to know, because in OU, they've got one of the best creative teams, right? When you talk about the social media stuff, they've got one of the best in college football. So for there to be nothing is, it's strange. And I want to know what the reasoning is, because I do think it's a missed opportunity, right? Because whether they realize it or not, it kind of puts the thought out there for the fan base. So it's like, this schedule is you know, we can't wait to get to the SEC. Meanwhile, I'm over here like, guys, we got a season to play, man. Like, the fan base needs to be excited about the 2023 season, especially when the schedule's as manageable as it is. I don't know. I thought it felt like a missed opportunity to create some buzz amongst the fan base and to get people excited. Does that make sense? Or am I reaching a little bit?
You're right. And they do that with everything. We've had about 50 graphics a day come out about the NFL, about signing day, about recruiting, about whose birthday it is at the facility. There's a graphic for everything. They have a graphic for when they're going to release their next graphic. So it's deliberate, but I don't know why. Like, because you're right. They try to build excitement around every single thing that happens there. It's deliberate. What's your theory on why? Do you have one?
No, because it doesn't make sense to me. It's like, hey, the schedule is what it is. You're in this conference for this season. Like, you're locked in. The SEC schedule's already out. Like, you're locked in. So why not do everything you can to get the fan base excited?
I guess, like, my only other theory would be that there was the long delay in releasing the schedule. We all know that, right? It was supposed to happen a long time ago, so there was details they were ironing out. And OU and Texas had a couple of things that they just flat out did not want, and those negotiations ran on and on and on, and they didn't get them. And it's like somewhat a protest to say, like, we're not happy about the way this unfolded, but I don't know how that could be the case.
I don't know how that could be the case when you look at OU and Texas' schedules.
I know, but you know what? But that's the only thing I could think of.
It has to be something like that. Like, this is not a coincidence that OU and Texas both didn't put something out. I think it's a mistake. Right? I think, hey, it is what it is. The schedule is what it is. Let's build some buzz, man. Let's get the fans excited. Let's sell some tickets. You know, like, I don't understand just retweeting the conference's tweet. I don't get it. So if someone understands it better, not let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. Maybe we're not thinking of something, Ted. We've never been accused of being the smartest guys in the world. So maybe we're just not thinking of something obvious.
Well, I really have no idea, but it's definitely deliberate.
Yeah, there's and no doubt about
I welcome
that.
All the conspiracies. Lay them down, folks. Let's see what you got.
We want to hear them. All right, this other one comes from XRP Loser, who says, schedule sets up nicely for OU, take care of business, and there's a potential showdown with Baylor or K-State for the Big 12 title. I think you have to give TCU some respect, right? But you're getting them in the finale. So who knows? But yeah, without playing K-State, they're the defending champs now. They're losing some really good players on both sides of the ball, right? Deuce Vaughn, Felix Anudike, Uzama. Like, they're losing some guys now. But yeah, it does feel that way. And that would be a fantastic last season in the Big 12 for Oklahoma. To be able to get to Arlington, play a Big 12 title game, and for it to be one of those type of teams, right? Who there's been – now, I think OU K-State would be so fun as a Big 12 title game. But just like we talked about, it's more than manageable, man. It is more than manageable.
If we make the Big 12 championship, it will be against Tech or West Virginia or one of the new schools. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, every single year of the new conference championship game, there's been a new team that's never made it. Every yep. single game. So we've run out of teams, but we added some new ones. So maybe it's us and I don't know, Houston, but I don't
know.
No, no I don't
love
know
for the Jayhawks, huh?
Hey, you know, that road game is interesting. You know, it's one you just kind of scan over because of what we're used to with Kansas. But, you know, if they continue what they're doing, and I expect that they will, everyone's going to be taking them a little bit more serious, but they've got Daniels coming back at quarterback. They're going to be a dangerous team.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, a couple other OU things. Did you know it was National Signing Day today?
Only because of graphic season, right?
What OU's expecting to add one more? The kid from Bethany, right? That's it?
From Bethany, and I've seen some like
maybe Rocky Calvis's kid.
Yeah,
is,
preferred walk-on guys signing on.
Yeah, it seems like BV did a good job of convincing some guys to go the preferred walk-on route instead of taking scholarships other places, right? I mean, at least that's what it looks like.
Well, it's a good time to get it. You know, whenever you look at the season last year and you sit down with those guys and you say, hey, if you could come in and get it done, buddy, we're looking for the best, right? And there's plenty of opportunity to get on the field. Now, it's been something that they've talked about quite a bit, is like vastly expanding the walk-on program, right? They want 115 players on roster. Right. And they want to add local, hardworking, dedicated players that have a ton of potential upside that want to come in and fight. And the more guys you get in the locker room that are like that, it changes the culture in there. And I think it's fantastic. And you've also seen all of the, you know, for the 24 class, there's been a ton of scholarship offers to Oklahoma kids already.
Yeah. And it brings a smile to my face with how this staff is recruiting the in-state kids, right? It does. And yeah, Taylor Heim, the Bethany kid, he's interesting, man. What, like 6'4", 200-ish pounds?
Athlete.
Three-sport athlete at Bethany.
there's a bunch of kids that kind of fit into that gap in this class, right? That what position are they going to play? We don't necessarily know, but they've got good length, good size, and they're athletic.
Yeah, we'll see where he ends up, but you can't have too many big athletic dudes. And that's where you have to trust the evaluation, and you have to trust the staff to develop him, right? And so he's not the only guy in that 2023 class, but that kid blew up, man, because it's funny. Ty Darlington, who is now the tight ends coach at Incarnate Word, who is one of the best teams in the FCS, right? I think they finished like FCS number 3 this season. He hit me up like, hey, what do you know about Taylor Heim? And I was like, not a ton. And legitimately a few days after that, OU offered him a scholarship. And yeah. So that kid, it happened very, it came together very quickly for him. He went from some smaller group of 5 offers to, hey, you got that OU offer in a few days. But yeah, I'm interested. You say the word project and it almost sounds negative. Right. But I think that kid's like the ultimate project. We don't know what his body's going to look like. We don't know what positions he's going to play. We don't even know what side of the ball he's going to be on. He's one of the type of guys where I'm like, I can't wait to see what it looks like in, 3 years from now.
Yeah. Well, whenever you're 6'4" and you've got that big frame and you get into a big time strength and conditioning program where everyone, it's like osmosis. As everyone in the weight room comes in together, you just naturally get bigger together. And it's great because we're going to have a guy that's 6'4", 6'5", playing cheetah. We're going to have a guy that's 6'4", essentially playing inside backer. We'll have guys that are 6'4", playing like edge. You can play anywhere with that frame. That's what's great about getting guys with that length. And those physical traits is because it can go any number of areas that you're just not sure. And it's just so happens that the head coach earmarks everyone as an inside backer whenever they first come in, right? It's like everyone's an inside linebacker until proven otherwise. Yeah, we're going to have 20 guys in the inside backer room.
Yeah, that's typically how it works.
I'll say though, if you're a defensive guy and you can learn it from that angle first, and then because you have to, it's almost like playing quarterback. You have to know everything. So if you can at least start there and get some base knowledge at that and then branch out, I think it's beneficial.
Yeah. All right. Let's catch up on some stuff, but we got to get the birthday shout outs in. Happy 3rd birthday to Willow Campbell.
Happy 5th birthday to Penny Lane.
Happy 14th birthday to Caden Helm.
Happy 21st birthday to Colson Cheek.
Happy 25th birthday to Kaylee Crawford.
Happy 26th birthday to Sonia Sands.
I'm going Sonia Sines. Sonia Sines. Sines. Sonia
yeah,
Sines.
That's right. Sonia Sines. Happy birthday.
Happy 31st birthday to Rico Bosco.
Happy 36th birthday to Bad Brad Manning.
Happy 44th birthday to Jason Porton.
And congrats to Caden Phillips on signing to play football at Ottawa University.
Nice. I think that's Ottawa, Kansas.
Okay, nice.
And a perfect segue it's hard to have a perfect segue, Ted, to an ad read, but I'm pretty sure there's an Ottawa can't. There's a Loves in Ottawa, Kansas that I stopped out just side of a Kansas City.
Nice. But shout first out to the folks at Loves in Ottawa.
The only place to stop when you're road tripping is a Loves Travel Stops. Loves has over 600 locations in 42 states offering 24-hour access to clean and safe places. Whatever your road trip needs are, Loves has it. Fuel, fresh food, all the snacks and drinks, including, yes, my favorite, Java Hamore. That coffee is fantastic. Loves also has you covered if you forget your phone charger or headphones. They've expanded their mobile to-go zone so you can grab any of that stuff there. Make sure you download the Loves Connect app for exclusive offers from today's most popular brands. The Loves Connect app also includes a route planner and store locator. When you see that red neon heart on the highway, stop in and say hi at Loves Travel Stops. For a full list of what Loves has to offer, visit loves.com.
Opelous Clothing is the exclusive home for all of our Oklahoma Breakdown merchandise. If you want to live your life in buttery soft comfort, go to opelousclothing.com. That's O-P-O-L-I-S clothing.com. Use promo code TED, T-E-D, for 10% off your entire order. You still get a discount on all the OU and OKC Thunder gear as well. That's opelousclothing.com. Use promo code TED for 10% off. Buttery soft and 10% off.
And the new stuff, it's sweet, man.
Yes.
It's sweet. It's sweet. Go buy some of the new merch, people. Don't forget to use promo code TED at checkout. Okay, I'm just calling this catching up, right? Because we haven't recorded a podcast since a few rather significant things happened in the sports world. Let's start here. OU basketball smacked the hell out of number 2 Alabama. I mean, from tip off to the final buzzer, that was a beatdown.
When you shoot 69% from three,
nice.
It's going to be tough. All right. Held Bama to just 69 points and poured it in from everywhere. Sherfield, awesome. Jalen Hill, awesome. The entire team played fantastic basketball, high energy, effort. You know, after the TCU game, it's like, oh boy, we better show up. And they did. The fans showed up. The environment was awesome. The student section was awesome. I loved everything about it. Now, I'm not complaining, but it wasn't even a game. Like, that's the only thing, right? It would have been cool to beat them in dramatic fashion, but even better, I like the fact that this team got a comfortable big-time win where everything clicked. They needed that as a momentum builder.
Yeah, and even kind of early in that second half when it felt like Bama was starting to creep back in it, Sooners shut the door, man. They said, yep. No. Not up
in here.
They
never even got to single digits, right? They cut it to like 11 or something like that.
And it was like, okay, here comes the run. How will they handle it? And they handled it beautifully. You know, Sherfield with the 30-piece, that was fun. But Jalen Hill, man, that was one hell of a performance. Right, the 26 points are great, but I don't think people realize he has defended Brandon Miller. He defended Brandon Miller better than anyone else in the country has. Mm-hmm. Brandon Miller is going to be a lottery pick in all likelihood. So to watch him make it as difficult as he did on Miller, that was impressive. And the shooting, of course, very, very helpful when you're that hot. But I thought a lot of the offensive confidence came from how well they were defending. I mean, the defense was fantastic. Alabama looked uncomfortable. I did not think they handled the pressure that OU put on them well. I didn't think they handled the physicality well at all. So you got to give Porter Moser and those players credit for essentially, sometimes how I view basketball. I mean, one team kind of bullied the other. Made him like it. And it was fun to watch. I was watching it in a bar in Kansas City, and my wife is like, be quiet. I was making a scene, man. I was with the Bell family. We were all cheering. It was fun. It was fun. But my wife was like, you're being ridiculous. I was like, honey, this is the biggest basketball win for OU since I don't even know when. Let me live my life, woman.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was huge. And like I said, much needed. Get some momentum back. You know, that TCU game was a beatdown, and I think it had the team feeling a certain way, but I love it. And hey, man, I'll tell you another thing. Tanner Groves and the energy that he's brought recently, like, I thought he was fantastic in the home game against Baylor. I know they lost that game, but he had tons of energy. He had tons of energy again against Alabama. I love the way he's playing right now.
I'm with you. And my hope is that it's a turning point for OU season. right? That it's a big confidence boost. Now, Bedlam tonight with the free admission stuff, expecting it to be a big atmosphere. But if you don't win Bedlam tonight, then the Alabama game feels like it doesn't mean a whole lot. So you got to ride that wave.
Doesn't mean anything. You we're still last four in.
Right.
You know, after beating the number two team in the country, which, you know, who cares about that? The point is you still have to win. I hate to say it because you've got some tough ones, but you still got to win the rest of your home games in this conference.
Yeah.
And if you don't win the Kansas game at home, you've got to make it make people notice with how good of a game it is.
Yeah. So we'll see if that Alabama win ends up being something we look back on at the end of the basketball season going, hey, that's when things started turning. But that was fun to watch, man. It was fun to watch. Okay. Other things we need to catch up on. NFL. Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals to advance to the Super Bowl. I was there at Arrowhead. Ted, it was very cold. Shout out to my boy Ryan Johnson, who supplied me with a heated vest that I could borrow. My God, what an invention. It was incredible. I was damn near sweating.
You click a button and it's...
Button on the chest. Click the button, thing heats you up.
Any fear at all? Well, probably not. You had some beverages in you, but any spontaneous combustion fears?
None. I had no concerns with the, let's say, with my beverage intake. I never crossed my mind once.
Do you feel like you're cheating? You know, there's 80,000 people there,
no.
And you feel like it's totally within the bounds. You're good.
This is the way I see it. If I'm warm, I'm a better fan. Like I'm not worrying about the weather. I'm making noise. If you find a way to make yourself warm, you're not worried about being cold, which I think takes away from fans being engaged in the game. They're too worried about being cold. So just be warm and you don't have to worry about being cold and you can just get after it and scream and cheer and celebrate and all that, you know?
I'm going to offer a little bit of pushback on that. I feel like when you're freezing your ass off, you have to stay engaged and energetic to try and build some warmth. So you get some false engagement because of the temperature, perhaps.
You're basically saying you got to move around and yell a bunch to stay warm.
Yes.
You can't I understand where you're coming from, but I'm just saying I felt pretty good about the way that I went about things. I'm too old, man, to be cold now.
How long into the game before you had Amazon pulled up and had one purchased for yourself?
Oh, yeah. Pretty sweet. But, hey, Arrowhead was rocking, man. And it was a tough environment to play for the Bengals. And, man, that was a dramatic game. I won't lie. When they converted that 3rd and 16, what was it, from their own 9 with about a minute to go, happened right in front of us. I was like, oh, no. Joe Burrow, he's going to go win the game. The Chiefs defense had played so well up to that point. And I was just like, uh-oh, here it comes. He's going to do it again. But credit to the Chiefs defense. They give up that play, man, and end up getting the stop. Horrible punt from Cincinnati. Dude just hits a line drive right down the middle of the field. What was that?
Typical is what it is for punters, special teams guys. I mean, that of all the things that happened in that game, to me, that punter's, he's thrilled of what Osai did a couple of plays later, because it takes all the heat. Don't look here. Don't look at the god-awful punt, the laser beam right to the middle of the field that created that huge return. That's what cost the Bengals the game. Out to what, the 45, 50-yard line?
Yeah. I mean, you can't hit a punt like that in that situation. Mm-mm. You just can't. Sets up that big return. And I know some people will say, well, did they miss block in the backs? blocks in the back. No. The one that looked like a block in the back, there's a guy in front of him also blocking him.
And he shielded. He put the hands up and just shielded with the body. They're not going to call that.
They're not going to call it. And, man, you and I both really liked Joseph Osai when he was at Texas. And one of the main reasons we loved him, that dude played hard, flew to the football. But even in that situation, right, game on the line, Super Bowl trip on, you got to know where you're at on the field. You got to know when to pull up. I do not understand people saying, well, you shouldn't call that in that situation. What? This is when you know it's a penalty. That Osai comes flying in. Eli Apple is standing right in front of Mahomes like this. And Osai comes and pushes him to the ground, and Eli Apple looks at him. And remember, this is Eli Apple, mind you, looks at him like, hey, bro, what the hell are you doing? I mean, it's a penalty every single time. It doesn't matter. Any quarterback in the league, that's a penalty. It is. And it just is what it is. It sucks that had such a large impact on the game, but it's a penalty you have to call if you're those officials, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's a tough spot to be in. You're selling out defensively to try and get over there and keep the first down from happening. It's a trip to the Super Bowl, right? It's everything that you've got. And, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult to pull up, not mentally, but because of the speed at which you're closing in over there. It's hard as a guy's slowing down and you're coming in full speed. It didn't help that it turned into an absolute yard sell over there as he almost tears his ACL. Mahomes goes flying. They almost kill, I don't know if it was a trainer or an equipment guy that got rolled up there by the heated bench. I mean, it looked horrible. It wasn't much of a push, but it's going to get called every time. And if they don't make that call, like that would have been the egregious thing, because that stadium would have tore that place apart if they don't call that 15-yard penalty right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what would have happened. I was sitting in the family section. Shout out to my man, the Belldozer. Hooked us up with tickets. I don't know if there may have been a riot if they didn't call that 15-yard penalty.
Well, at a minimum, there would have been about 30,000 20-ounce rockets making their way down to the field.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate when a penalty like that has such a big impact in the game. But it's the right call. And then, hey, Butker.
Right down the pipe.
That was right down the middle. That's a clutch kick. But I'll say this, because that was the end of the field we were sitting on. Like, he put it way up in the air, and the wind kind of held that thing up. That did not clear by much.
Little gust from the gods there.
Yeah, it was one of those. I was like, oh, he drilled it, and then it kind of stalled. It's like when you're playing golf in Oklahoma, you feel like you hit a beautiful drive, and it just whoosh, it's almost like the wind sucks it back.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little nerve-wracking. I was like, oh, no, go. But it was a fun game. It's unfortunate that the conversation after the game is a lot about the officiating in its totality, as opposed to Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones. Chris Jones was dominant.
Insane. Yeah.
But I feel like after that game, there was an unbelievable amount of like, this is rigged from people on social media. And I don't know, man, there were some questionable calls. Undoubtedly the extra down thing, I'll tell you this, it was loud. So if the guy's blowing a whistle, there were several plays where whistle gets blown, guys, no one was hearing it. No one. So I don't know. I don't like to complain about the officiating as much as some people, but
I love to complain about officiating.
Yes, you do.
And I'm not complaining about it in that game. Yeah, I wanted the Bengals to win. All right. And it was not a block in the back on the return. It was not a hold on Orlando Brown.
Oh, my God. That was a perfect block. It was like his best rep of the day.
Yeah, and it was the proper call on the 15-yard penalty. So, I hated that it ended that way for Osai. I hated it. I loved how some of his teammates treated it. I hated how other teammates treated it. But I understand, like, it's an emotional moment. It feels like a ridiculously dumb play. So I get the reaction from some teammates, and because it costs a lot. If you just want to strip it down, not only does it cost guys another opportunity at a Super Bowl, it costs guys a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of money. So
for those of you that
say, like, you don't know that you win the game if he doesn't do that, right? It feels like you do, but you don't necessarily win the game if he doesn't make that play, but that's kind of how it unfolds. So, and it also robbed us of of a proper ending to the game, you know, whether it's overtime or Mahomes has to pull off, a special play to get another, 10 or 15 yards down the field. So unfortunate.
Yeah. It's not how you want a game to end, right? No. In a perfect world as a football fan, but it is what it is. And now you look at Mahomes' first 5 years in the NFL, 5 years playing. Guy's pretty good at football, man. Oh my gosh.
I was worried that last year he kind of felt the pressure and buckled and didn't play well in the second half whenever Cincinnati started to put a run together. He answered, playing on that ankle. He was mobile, made some tough plays, including that final run there. Had some dimes on the run or outside of the pocket. Can't deny it.
Yeah, I'll say this. Blake took me and my wife to kind of the after party after the game. They rented out a bar. And Mahomes, that dude gets it, supplied the entire bar with Whataburger. Whataburger everywhere, Ted. Everywhere.
Wow. Okay.
Like patty melts, chicken biscuits, chicken sandwiches, everywhere. I think he must like own Whataburgers there. I think he brought Whataburger to Kansas City or something like that. But walk in, first thing I saw was like big box of Whataburger. I was like, tonight's going to be fun. This should be a good time.
He's got your Hall of Fame vote. Key to Gabe's heart.
Damn right he does.
There. How about Creed Humphrey walking around with, a couple cases of beer? He reminds me. I feel like he drinks a beer like Andre the Giant drinks a beer. Like it's a 12 ounce sip every single time.
It's like water for him.
Yeah.
I love that he went and just grabbed beers from one of the bars in the stadium. Just like, hey,
it is kind of like you work there, you know?
Yeah, he does work there technically. Yeah, like, hey, these are coming with me. What are they going to say? Mr. Humphrey? I mean, no, these are coming with me. Okay. See ya.
Tell them to payroll deduct it.
That'd be hilarious if they actually did. They're like, he's got 24. Hey, but the Chiefs headed back to the Super Bowl. It should be fun. There's really not a ton to say about the Eagles destroying the 49ers. In my opinion, and I was sitting watching that game going, the second Purdy goes out. What was that, like around 7 minutes to go in the first quarter? He went down and I essentially was like, the game is over. And I know that, hey, Christian McCaffrey, I'll give that guy credit. He had some tremendous individual plays. It took the Eagles a little bit to separate, but the Eagles they weren't going to get beat with Josh Johnson playing quarterback. I mean, that team's entirely too good. And once Josh Johnson, former teammate, by the way, once he went out with the concussion and Purdy had to come back in and he couldn't even throw the ball, it kind of felt like injuries robbed us of what could have been a really, really good game.
Yeah. And, on game day and even, next day from the pundits, Brock Purdy was taking some heat about, well, he wasn't that hurt if he came back in the game. Turns out he tore his UCL. So, you're not throwing the football with the torn UCL out there. And just, that's you hated to feel like we were robbed of what was going to be a great game, right? The only thing really to come out of that that I thought was at least interesting was Trent Williams with the body slam of the year, right? Golly, making another grown man look like a toddler.
He's good at that. He may be number one in the league at that, where you just go, oh my God. Oh my. But yeah, it was.
It'll cost him about $50K probably.
That's fine. He's made a ton of money. It was worth it. It was worth it, dude. Like, that clip was everywhere on social media. So it was one of those, like, yeah, don't mess with that guy.
Well, I heard, so I was in the car and I was listening to the radio broadcast. And, oh, I'm drawing a blank on the guy that was calling it. He's super well known. Anyways, it's the guy that he had like the great call of the, like there was like a rabbit or there's some
Kevin
type
Harlan.
Of yes. Yes. He was calling it and it was awesome. The call of Trent Williams slamming that guy. I was like, yes, let's go. It was cool.
But I think the only other thing from that game, other than that Eagles offensive line, is that group's the real deal now.
Yep.
I mean, I thought that they handled that 49ers front seven pretty dang well. But Jalen Hurts as a passer, right? Because he did some really nice things running. But as a passer, he did not look very sharp. And now he does. He's got 2 weeks to get a little healthier, maybe find a better rhythm, throwing the football. And I'm just really interested to see what he looks like in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, because he, throwing the football, he did not look close to 100% to me. Now, running, it's a different story. That guy, I mean, he can go, but I'm interested to see what he looks like on Super Bowl Sunday. And that obviously there's some time, but he needs to be at his best, because other teams got Patrick Mahomes, man. I mean, that's just the truth. So we'll see.
Where's the Super Bowl this year?
Glendale, Arizona.
Yeah. Which, you know, that helps that it'll be nice. Not, you know, if you're banged up at all, especially like in a shoulder or something, and you're throwing the football, cold weather is not what you want. It just, it makes everything a little bit more painful, harder to get warmed up and stay warm. So that should help some as well.
Need to get him a heated vest.
Heated vest. God, it's awesome. Amazing.
All right, let's finish up with our winners and losers of the week. But first,
Bishop McGinnis Catholic High School represents a tradition of educational excellence in Oklahoma City. Grounded in a faith-based education, students prepare to meet their potential with an individualized academic path that strives for success. Bishop McGinnis offers a college prep curriculum that includes 22 AP courses, participation in OSSAA athletics, where they've won over 100 state championships, and numerous clubs and organizations for students to join and grow. If you want to provide the best possible educational and spiritual development for your children, contact Bishop McGinnis Catholic High School or visit bmchs.org. Financial aid is available.
And attention, business owners, you need Insurica in your life. Insurica is one of the country's largest insurance brokers with 30 offices throughout Oklahoma, Texas, and the Southwest. Insurica is able to customize programs by accessing the latest information from many insurance carriers. They compare and contrast coverage offerings and pricing in order to design a cost-effective, comprehensive program to meet your business's specific needs. Insurica's clients become best-in-class businesses by working with Insurica's team of advisors to manage risk. Purchasing insurance is only one way to protect your business. Best-in-class businesses win by avoiding a loss in the first place. If your business partners with Insurica, you'll save huge amounts of money and take back control of your total cost of risk. I'm an Insurica client, and you should be too. If your business wants to be best in class, connect with Insurica at Insurica.com. That's Insurica.com. As always, Ted, kick us off. Who do you have as your winner of the week?
Easy one. Taylor Robinson, all-time NCAA three-point leader. Over 500 career threes, just amazing. Pours it in nonstop, and she's not done yet. She's going to hit a ton more this season because they fire the three. Really, really cool, which is awesome. And a very short span, Oklahoma, what, in a calendar year, we've had the all-time women's home run champion, and which I know we had it before, but still to break that, and now the all-time NCAA three-point leader, that's pretty cool. Women's athletics at OU has it going right now.
It absolutely does. Could you imagine hitting like 500 threes like Taylor Robertson has?
No, I think I've hit between 15 and 20 for my entire life, and that's counting practice.
I mean, she can absolutely fill it up. I won't lie, didn't love that she rocked the Steph Curry jersey at the Thunder game.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I get it. He's the best shooter ever. And just so you know, we're going to talk about that game and my winners and losers, because I just do not understand something that happens when they come to town. But I'm not going to get too worked up about it, because I get it. She's the best three-point shooter ever in women's college basketball. He's the best three-point shooter ever at any level of basketball. I get it. But
it's cool we've done it with the Thunder player. Recognize that and do that, but it's weird at the same time. He's coming into our territory, but I guess he's earned that right. What are you going to say?
Yeah. It's cool. I'm going to say it's cool, but that woman can shoot the three now.
There's no doubt about that.
I mean, she can absolutely fill it up. And no, Jenny Baranchek, what, Texas game didn't go particularly well, but still seems like they're putting together a nice season, going to be a tournament team. Be interesting to see if they can make a run. But anytime your team's setting records, it's a good thing, man.
Yeah. And I do think they will be able to make a run as good as they are offensively. Right? Whenever you can score, you got the best three-point shooter of all time. You get into tournament type of play, that's going to help you a ton.
Yeah. All right. Who do you have as your loser of the week?
Maybe this is – I may be on a one-man island on this thing, but it's the Denver Broncos. I know they get Sean Payton, and Sean Payton has clearly been an excellent coach. He's got the credentials. He's coming into the locker room, and what he's accomplished gives him a little bit more command. You look at the Hackett situation, never been a head coach before, comes in, and as things start to fall apart, everyone can kind of question things pretty quickly. Sean Payton's going to be able to hold the locker room for a longer duration if they get off to a rocky start, right? It's less of a way to just have it easy to point the finger at one person. But they're giving up another first-round pick, giving up another second-round pick. They've got to pay. I don't know. What's the payout? Is it – was there the buyout too? Anyways, there's rumors that he's going to make like $20 million. It's a ton of money, and they're giving up picks. I feel like the Broncos are approaching this thing in the total wrong way by giving a ton of money and trading a ton of draft picks away for Russell Wilson. And now you're going to do the same thing for a coach. And let's be honest. Okay. Again, Sean Payton has been great, but he had Drew Brees. Okay. So the jury's out on whether it was Sean Payton or was it Drew Brees. I mean, I don't know. I think the Broncos are going about this thing the wrong way. They need to be stacking picks and developing their roster the organic way instead of paying a ridiculous amount of money and resources for two people. That's just my take.
I'm not overly concerned about the new ownership group for the Broncos.
Deep pockets.
One of the richest people in the world.
Right.
Right. So they're going to pay Sean Payton whatever and be like, fine, we don't care. But one of these things that I keep seeing is like, oh, well, they're willing to spend. Guys, that's great. This is not the NBA. This isn't baseball. There's a salary cap. A true salary cap. There's no luxury tax and all that. Like, so even if they're willing to spend, you can only do so much through free agency.
They're willing to spend the same exact amount as everyone else. And unfortunately, most of that's already been allocated to one guy who just had the worst season of his entire career.
So if you're the Broncos, I'm assuming you're hoping that Sean Payton can do the exactly what he did with Drew Brees with that offense, right? With Russell Wilson, like that he can come in and fix Russell Wilson. But the defense was solid, right? Rock solid.
Yep.
So I can understand them going, okay, hey, Sean Payton, he's coming in and just got to fix this offense. The defense is good, like all that. We'll see what it looks like. But to me, I just don't understand it from Sean Payton's standpoint. Because, and I don't know if he had the pick of any job that he wanted, but Denver is not the one I would have picked. Because you know who's in that division. Why would you willingly, if you had your choice, why would you willingly go into the division that Patrick Mahomes is in? Now, Justin Herbert's a different conversation, right? I just don't understand, other than money. And maybe that's it. Like, if you're...
It's good enough reason.
Yeah, I suppose I'll do whatever for $20 million a year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, and I was only there for a short time, but I was with the Saints when Sean Payton was the head coach. And the guy is a super competitive guy. The guy loves winning just like anyone else that's a player or a coach, you know, at the professional level. But it took a long time for him to develop what he did in New Orleans, and he was there for a very long time. But I don't understand picking Denver with some of the other quarterbacks that are in that league. Maybe you think, hey, I'm a better coach than those guys. Maybe you think he's a better coach than Andy Reid. Maybe thinks he's a better coach than Staley. I don't know. But it's an interesting choice, man. And it feels like it was money driven. But I mean, who wouldn't be the first person to make a life choice over money? So it was a strange choice to me. Though, like I look at Carolina, and maybe the Saints weren't having that, right? Hey, no, you're not coming back in our division. I can understand that from New Orleans' perspective, but...
Well, here's the part of it is, who else was willing to give up what you have to give up in order to get him? It's not like signing any other coach. Denver had to give up a first-round pick, which they absolutely cannot afford to give up, and a second-round pick, which they absolutely can't afford to give up. They don't have any picks. They don't have anything. So that's the interesting part about it. And, like, if they're throwing $20 million at you, it's like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Russell Wilson is not Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a workaholic that the entire team adored, loved.
Correct.
Russell Wilson is a guy, a weirdo, that it feels like the entire team hates. That's not that's not what you want as your quarterback, right? I don't know. And he's been guaranteed an insane, what, $165 million he has guaranteed? That makes people mad when you play the way Russell Wilson did last year.
That's how you end up with defensive tackles yelling in your starting quarterback's face.
Yes, that's right.
I'm interested. I'll say this. I'm interested to see if it works. It's certainly intriguing, but
sign me up for the soap opera.
from the amount of time I spent in a locker room with Drew Brees and just the things that I've heard about Russell Wilson over the years, very different discourse around those two men.
Yeah.
And Drew had a bit of the, you know, like he had a little rah-rah to him, right? But it was nowhere near like Russell Wilson and whatever the hell that was this season. So I could see Sean Payton being like 2 weeks into OTAs in the quarterback meeting with Russell Wilson and just turning to me like, "Hey man, please stop with all of this. Please just cut it out. Stop. Please." Like, I can see him losing it, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun storyline. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun to watch, and maybe Sean Payton can pull some magic. But like, my biggest, I feel like Denver has totally mortgaged their entire future on this. And if it works, great. That's awesome. But if it doesn't, and it's not going to because of the division that they're in. Like, I don't know.
Weird. Good luck with the Chiefs. I will say this. New ownership group there in Denver. Walton family, right? Let's not forget, there's a team out in L.A., what, 2 years ago that won a Super Bowl with the F them picks mentality. Gronky's married to a Walton.
That's true.
So maybe just a family strategy, you know? Hey, we don't need to draft. We'll just fill the holes through free agency.
Maybe. Yeah, that is a good point.
I don't know. We'll
see.
They
had a really good base to work from, though.
You look at the teams playing in the Super Bowl. Now, you got to hit on quarterback, clearly, right? That's most important. They're built through the draft, man.
Yep.
You look at Kansas City, you look at all the starting 22
Lines
and how many guys they drafted.
Mahomes gets a ton of credit, and like Kelsey gets a ton of credit, and those guys should. But that O-line and D-line from Kansas City, legit.
And the majority of them, they signed some guys in free agency, don't get me wrong, but the majority of them were drafted by Veach and developed there in Kansas City. And the same thing for Philadelphia. You look at that O-line. You look at the D-line. Now, you always have free agents that elevate your team, but you got to draft well, man. I mean, you have to. And in order to draft well, you got to have picks. So
typically at the top of the draft.
I'm skeptical about how successful Sean Payton is going to be there in Denver, but hey,
we'll see.
It's gonna be fun to watch. All right, let's get to my winner and loser. But first,
John Vance Auto Group has been serving Oklahomans for 40 years. They're family owned and operated, and they got 9 full service dealerships in Woodward, Miami, and Guthrie. No matter what your vehicle needs are, John Vance Auto Group has you covered. They carry domestic brands such as Ford, Lincoln, Chevy, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, Jeep, and Wagoneer. John Vance Auto Group's goal is to give unequaled service and to exceed customers' expectations in every way, which is why they have their lifetime loyalty program. And here's how it works. You buy a new or used car from them, then all you have to do is get all the manufactured recommended maintenance done at the Vance dealership. And if something goes wrong with components of your engine, transmission, drive, axle, or transfer unit, they'll cover the repair costs. It's a great deal. You can browse their entire inventory or find the John Vance dealership near you at vanceautogroup.com.
And First Fidelity Bank is a full-service financial institution based in Oklahoma with tailored solutions for all your personal and business needs. Checking accounts, saving accounts, home loans, and much more. They do it all. Whether it's online banking from your computer or mobile banking from your phone, everything is stress-free with FFB. Making mobile deposits, paying bills online, and moving money to different accounts could not be easier. Make your life easier and go bank with First Fidelity Bank. Visit FFB.com for more information. All right, for my winner of the week, I thought about going with Tyler Huntley because anytime you throw for two touchdowns and three interceptions and somehow make a Pro Bowl, that's a win, baby. That's a win. People want to make it some big indictment on the Pro Bowl. I'm just happy for Tyler Huntley. That's awesome.
That's cool. Hey, you can say whatever you want about me, but I was a Pro Bowler, baby. That's good.
And my hope is that there's an incentive in his contract that no one ever thought would get triggered, like him making a Pro Bowl. I hope it results in a nice payday for our man Tyler Huntley as well. That's usually how it works.
And a kickback, you know, for getting that Pro Bowl nod. That's awesome.
Yeah. But my winner of the week, I'm going with the Houston Texans because I think D'Amico Ryans is a hell of a hire. 38 years old. Dude was a stud at Bama. It was the first pick of the second round for the Texans. I mean, played in the league for a decade. And there's some conflicting reports, right, between when you look at what Ian Rappaport said and what Adam Schefter said when it comes to D'Amico Ryans being hired by Houston and then Sean Payton by Denver, like at the exact same time. I mean, Rappaport said that Denver wanted Ryans and he chose Houston instead. So that's a win for the Houston Texans, which you don't say very often for them as an organization. And now it probably has a lot to do with D'Amico Ryans playing 6 years there for the Texans. I'm not sure he made the smart decision choosing this as the franchise he wants to lead, but I'm interested to see if he can turn the Texans into something. We'll see. And yes, a few years back, he did sue the Houston Texans, which makes it very interesting as well. But I believe they ended up settling, right? Because he tore his Achilles in a game at NRG. And that was back then when they were – do you remember when they were doing that weird thing with the grass?
Yeah.
It was like they were growing it outside in, like, different patches and then, like, piecing it together inside the stadium. It was weird. But I believe he ended up settling with the turf company or something like that.
Did you ever play there? Have you played there?
I did not play there. I never played a game on that field, I don't think.
I played the Big 12 Championship in 2002 there. And it was pretty recent after it had been built. I'm not sure what year it was built, but it was fairly recent. And the field was grass. But like when you're running on it, you can almost like hear it below you. You know what I'm saying? It's like grass, but it's like going do 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 do. It was weird. It was not a normal grass field. And since it's on like they bring it in, and it's on like it's got like I guess it's on like a smaller. You know, it dries out really fast, so it turns rock hard. It was not good. Not a good surface.
They play on turf now, like artificial smart turf.
God, which think about how much money it cost them to do it the way they used to do it instead of just putting $1 million turf field in and being done with it.
And think about how many knees it cost guys. Like, because the way I remember people talking about it, because they're obviously in the AFC South and I was with the Titans, they'd just be like, dude, it kind of feels like there's holes in the field. And my initial reaction hearing that was like, how does that happen in the National Football League? Like, how could that be a thing?
Well, it was a thing in Philly forever. And finally, who was it that just walked off in a preseason game and said, we're not playing?
Yeah.
And that got them to change it.
Yeah. But hey.
So will lawsuits.
Yeah. They figured out their differences, apparently, D'Amico Ryans and the Texans. And this is the thing about him. He will immediately have the respect of every guy in that locker room. It's a guy that's done it as a player. He's risen quickly as a coach. You never really know if a guy's going to succeed as a head coach, right? Until he has to do it. But I would not bet against D'Amico Ryans getting the Houston Texans to the highest level we've seen him at. Because, hey, he had that 49ers defense, and I know he inherited it from Saleh, and I know he had a bunch of studs on that defense. But, I mean, that was arguably the most that was arguably the best defense in the league, and he was leading it. We'll see if the Texans end up drafting well, right? They've got the second pick of the draft. You would assume they're going to try to get their quarterback of the future with that pick. They got to do some good things in free agency, but yeah, D'Amico Ryans seemed like he was the hottest name in the coaching carousel, and somehow, some way, the Houston Texans, who have had no organizational success, somehow they end up landing him. So that's a win for the city of Houston and for that franchise, no doubt.
I think it's big time. Now, please give him some support in free agency and the draft and give him some time, right? Because that's the one bad thing that's happened at Houston is turnover recently at head coach, and it's tough to get anything built that way. You got to give the guy some time, or else he's going to do what Lovie Smith did and say, oh, I see the writing on the wall. You're going to fire me. How about I win this final game of the season by going for two and costing you the first round of the number one overall pick? Awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's their third head coach in 3 years.
Yeah.
That's not how it's supposed to be. So I'm interested to see what he can do, but seems like he's a bit of a rock star when it comes to the coaching community. So if he can't do it, oh boy, watch out, Houston. Okay, for my loser of the week, thought about going with Tom Brady, man. Did you see that video?
Yeah.
Retired, like he said, for good. I'm done, but I find it so hard to believe. He said he wouldn't change a thing, right? I can't imagine that's true. It was a rough year for Tom. He's the best quarterback of all time. I think a lot of people would say best football player with the incredible success he had. But he had the chance to just walk away after last season, right? Really, really solid effort from him in the playoffs. And everyone was like, hey, if that's it, man, what a way for Brady to go out, even though they weren't able to win the game. But this season was a disaster for that man. Divorce. Football team wasn't very good. All that. Wouldn't change a thing. Really? Not one thing? You just walk away after winning the Super Bowl or walk away after last year when everyone was like, damn, Tom still got it. Like, I don't know, man. That video made me sad, though.
I totally agree. The guy had a chance to maybe pull off the greatest thing ever whenever he won that Super Bowl in Tampa. Like, to be able to walk off after that, having that quick run, going to win in a Super Bowl, then having maybe the greatest Super Bowl parade moment, avocado tequila, like right off into the sunset as the GOAT, still is, but that would have been amazing.
Yeah. No, I don't feel bad for Tom Brady. He'll
be fine.
He's going to be just fine. Not worried about the guy.
I feel bad for anyone that felt like they were making the move up the ladder when it come to announcing NFL games, because he's going to be sliding into that number one spot.
I'm a little skeptical if he even does it. Do you think he's actually going to do it?
Well, I don't know. If any of the rumors are true about how much money he lost in that FTX deal, think he may be doing it.
Fair. All right. Well, I think he'll be good. I hope he's just like brutally honest. And I will say, Greg Olson,
he's great.
I don't think anyone's stock, you know, in the broadcasting world, I don't think anyone's stock has risen more than Greg Olson's this year.
Yeah. Romo melded in. You can't blame him. It's the same thing in broadcasting as it is in free agency. When you sign someone to a gigantic guaranteed contract, they just, for whatever reason, settle in, you know?
Get a little comfortable.
Get comfortable.
Just a little comfortable. A little comfortable, Jim. Loser of the week, though, I don't know if it's Thunder fans or the Oklahoma City Thunder. We got to figure out this Warriors thing, okay? I went to Thunder Warriors on Monday night. Now, Thunder fell down big early in that one. Warriors were shooting the hell out of the basketball, but Thunder battled all the way back, almost pulled it off. Steph Curry is amazing. He's unbelievable to watch in person. A casual 38 for Steph in the win. But something about when the Golden State Warriors come to town continues to baffle and confuse me, Ted. When the Golden State Warriors are playing in Oklahoma City, all of these Warriors fans show up. And I don't know who these people are. Who are the people living in Oklahoma that are Golden State Warriors fans? I don't understand. It's like they're decently loud too. And I get that they've been good for a decade. I understand that. And the league isn't, you know, it feels like it's more about player rather than team now more than ever, especially for kids, like for young fans. But I'm seeing all these grown ass adults cheering for the Warriors. How does this happen? Who are these people? I don't understand.
Easy explanation.
Okay, help me out.
There's this natural phenomenon that takes place. And whenever you have something new that seemingly everyone loves, like the Thunder coming to Oklahoma City and having that quick run up, it forces a group of contrarians to go in the polar opposite direction. So as you have like a big run up, there's a group that is searching for like, where can I fly my flag that shows to everyone that I am as anti this as I could possibly be. And it's Golden State. So that's how those fans get created.
I don't like it.
That's my theory on it.
I don't like it. And I'll say this. I had this conversation with my wife. Steph Curry, he's got to be – if you could just like organize NBA jersey sales by like age, he's got to be the most popular player among kids. I mean, I'm sure LeBron's in that conversation and Luka, but he's got to be the most popular when it comes to, let's say, 12 and under. Right, just an unbelievable amount of kids wearing Steph Curry jerseys at this game. But I'm never going to let my kids do that. Does that make me a bad parent? Like I told my wife, my sons are never, and I mean never, wearing an opposing player's jersey to a Thunder game. Ever. I ain't doing it. And if that makes me a bad dad and if they want to cry, I don't give a shit. These kids are going to learn loyalty. Like, no, you live in Oklahoma City. This is your team. You don't have another choice. It's going to be Oklahoma football and Oklahoma City Thunder basketball. And if you don't like it, I don't care. Deal with it. All of this, 18, oh, well, I'll let him wear a Steph jersey for this game. No. Hell no. That ain't happening.
When you're 18, you can move to another market if you want, right?
Yeah.
And then you could be in that market. But
living in this city under this roof, you're a Thunder fan and you have no choice. Like,
You're not going to have to worry about the Curry thing. And I'll tell you why. Steph Curry he's the most relatable NBA basketball player of all time. And the reason is, like, forever, like, you're not going to be, you have no chance of being Shaq. Shaq's 7'2", 350 pounds of athlete the world has never seen. You're not going to be LeBron, 6'8", 270 pounds. You're not going to be those. But you could be Steph. He's not going to, like, he doesn't tip the scales at some outlier size. He's small, and he's gotten to where he is by skill development. Everyone can relate to that. Everyone can say, if I really put my best out there, I could possibly achieve something like that. That's why he's so relatable. Your son's going to be like 6'7", though. So, like, you don't have to worry about the Steph Curry thing.
I'm already like, son, watch Josh Giddey. You're
There you
probably
go.
going to be big and, you know, decently athletic, but we're not talking like world-class athlete here. So
Enough
study Giddey.
athleticism to get you by.
Study Giddey. Watch the guy with the curly hair. Steph. Now, one thing I'll say about watching Steph in person, that dude is way faster and way quicker than he gets credit for. Mm-hmm. I mean, his change of direction, how sudden he moves, especially with the basketball in his hand. Like, I don't think, because it's all about the shooting, right? But he gets way more open than he should, right? Because you got to imagine everybody's thinking, hey, run him off the line, run him off the line. Don't let him shoot threes. And he still gets all of these open looks. Has a lot to do with the ball movement and everything, like the artistry of the Warriors offensive system. But that guy does not get enough credit for his quickness and athleticism.
He's exhausting to defend.
Oh my gosh.
Because you have to defend him the entire court or he'll hit a three on you from your side of the floor. And he runs, he's relentless without the ball moving and running through screens. And you're right. I
just realized
he's great.
I'm over here complaining about, kids wearing Steph Curry jerseys, and I'm over here just, oh, he's awesome. He's incredible. I get how it sounds, people. I'm just telling you. You parent your kids the way you want. I'm fine. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your children. I'm just telling you. It ain't happening in the Eichert household. Dad, I want a Luka jersey. Tough shit, kid. You're getting your Shea jersey. Sorry. Deal with it. You're getting your Chet jersey. Your Giddey jersey. Deal with it. Just got people that I know are Thunder fans got their kids wearing Warriors jerseys, man. Like,
right now they're wearing Warriors jerseys. In a couple of years, they're going to be chewing mouthpieces and having it hanging out of their mouth looking like a idiot.
You hate that. You hate the mouthpiece thing.
Hate
now, before I tell this story, I want to acknowledge I am fully aware that this is not a very relatable story, but it was a cool dad moment. So I'm going to share it. So we took my son to the game. He was sitting on my lap, right? My wife was out of town. So I was like, hey, do I get the babysitter or do I bring him to the game? I was like, you know what? I'm bringing him to the game. If he's going to be one of the best shooters of all time, he's got to see the best shooter of all time. Like, you got to learn from the best to be the best, Ted. So Thunder are making that comeback. SGA hits a three right in front of us, like literally right in front of us. And I stand up and I've got my son in my arm and I'm celebrating and yelling. And he turns right around, looks my son dead in the eyes and winks at him. And my son got the biggest smile on his face. It was one of the coolest dad moments I've had so far. And I want to thank Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he didn't have to do that. And it was just one of those things where like, man, I know you're not going to remember this, but I'm going to be able to tell you the story someday. It was just, I don't know, man. It was really cool. I know it's not relatable, right? I get that, but it was a very cool dad moment for me.
That's really cool. That's awesome. You'll be able to see it somewhat on television forever and go back and see. That's really cool. I just wonder through the eyes of a very small child, if NBA players look like aliens because of how huge they are. And if you're right there, like, you know what I'm saying? It's got to be like, oh my God.
He just sits there and people are like, I can't believe how well behaved. He just like sits there and it's almost like he's studying. It's strange
just
to watch.
Locked in on the game.
He's just That's locked awesome. In and he holds his hands like this. He almost like twiddles his thumbs. It's really weird. I'm just like, yes, observe, son, soak it all in. And then we'll go home and we'll get some shots up.
That's great.
Yeah. But I will say, pretty excited. You know, SGA is going to be an all-star. Josh Giddey and Jalen Williams will be in the Rising Stars game. So, There's some things to be excited about as a Thunder fan.
Coming.
So make sure you buy those jerseys.
Don't forget,
jerseys
soon,
of the opponent.
At some point next year, be adding Mike Holmgren's son to the mix.
Chet.
7-footer.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. All right. On that note, episode 288 in the books. We'll have a new podcast that'll drop Monday. Just a reminder, you can hear Teddy from 3 to 6. Oh, by the way, Monday, long, I think we're at long interview with Max Olson from The Athletic. We're going to cover a lot of college football stuff. Big 12 schedule. He's one of the guys that really covers the transfer portal closely, covers the Big 12 very closely. So it's going to be a fun interview with our man, Max Olson. Reminder, you can hear Teddy from 3 to 6 and 94.7 The Ref. You can hear me from 2 to 5 on SiriusXM Big 12 Radio, Channel 375. We should probably say something about this. Hold on. And I assume a lot of people turned this off by now, but it's okay. For those of you that are still here, we had teased a rather significant guest. That ended up not happening. Should we be concerned in any way, shape, or form, Ted?
No. Okay. No concern.
Okay. We'll continue. Well, that doesn't make me feel good. We'll continue to try our best to get that scheduled and make that happen for you guys. Okay. Have an awesome rest of your week. Have an awesome weekend. Until next time, we appreciate y'all for listening. Do what you always do, Oklahoma. Take care of each other.